This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
A happy river is a clean river. A clean river is a happy river. The fish and the birds and the turtles too are happy when the river is a clean river. Well, if you like to paddle or you like to row, there's always a place on the river to go and sing a song to the fish below, or take a ride on the Hiawatha paddle wheel boat.
Welcome to the program. It is good to have you along as we talk to the Middle Susquehanna River Keeper today. John Zaktansky has been with us once in the past, just shortly after he began his post as the Middle Susquehanna River Keeper. Today we're going to get an update on what's going on along the river and what sort of efforts he's making in this post. Now, the song you just heard was not Mr. Zaktansky, but rather one of the songs written for one of the programs that the Middle Susquehanna River Keeper started last year. In fact, it will continue again this year. Local musicians have contributed to the effort, writing songs about the Susquehanna River and the impacts it's had on them and their surroundings. John Zaktansky grew up on a small farm in northern Northumberland County, so he spent a lot of time in the outdoors, and he also brings some writing experience to the job. We're going to hear how that all meshes and hear a bit about what's coming up in the Middle Susquehanna River Keeper Zone. John, thanks for being with us. Let's get a little background first for folks who are new to this idea of River Keeper, or perhaps are simply new to you. Tell us a bit about yourself.
I took over in February of 2020 with the Middle Susquehanna Riverkeeper Association. My predecessor, Carol Perenzin, helped build a foundation starting back in 2015 and build a good source with that. But I'm the executive director of the Middle Susquehanna Riverkeeper Association. It's a nonprofit. We oversee 11,000 square miles of watershed, which is basically every area when it rains. If that water eventually makes its way into the Susquehanna River through creeks and other tributaries, then that's part of the watershed. So everything that feeds into the North Branch and the West Branch of the Susquehanna into the upper main stem is all part of our jurisdiction.
So very, very large area.
Yes. Yeah, it's a very large area, and obviously it illustrates how important it is for us to reach out to educate and engage other people and to find volunteers and people who care as much about the water as what we do to get involved and to help us cover such a large region.
John, we all hear about the Chesapeake Bay and its health quite a bit because, of course, the Susquehanna is ending up there. So tell us a bit about how that plays into your efforts.
Well, definitely. Obviously, the Chesapeake has seized the brunt of everything that flows into it. Kind of as you flow downstream, you see more and more stuff building up. And the Chesapeake gets large numbers of nutrients and other contaminants make their way down to the Chesapeake. So when it comes to cleaning up the Susquehanna, it kind of starts down there and it works its way up to the upper reaches, and we're the furthest up reach when you get to the top of the Susquehanna, and the creeks that flow into it kind of work like capillaries. They feed the veins that ultimately flow down into the Chesapeake, so we all have a part to play in that.
Now, you came into this as the pandemic was getting underway, so how did you adjust to that to take a new job on, but also realizing that you weren't going to be able to do that job the way it might have been initially intended?
Yeah, it's been a unique opportunity. I've never been involved with a nonprofit before, and learning the ropes of dealing with running a nonprofit and to do it successfully took a lot of understanding and figuring things out. And being the pandemic, when it hit, in a way, it allowed me to stay in the office and to really dig through the files and to ultimately learn the job from the inside out, so to speak, instead of just jumping right into things. And I was able to build connections with people in different ways, unique ways, that to try to find creative opportunities to engage people in a safe opportunity to do so, considering everything that was going on. And it ultimately worked out really well for us in that it allowed me to slowly build into a position where we are now, where we're having a pretty good influence throughout the region.
If you tuned in late today, we want to let you know we're talking to John Zaktansky, the Middle Susquehanna River Keeper. We're hearing about his work and what he does to maintain the Susquehanna River and to keep people informed and educated about the benefits of this waterway. John, let's talk a bit about one of the other big parts of this job, which deals with legal ramifications of certain things like laws that are passed and so forth. And you actually are involved in some lawsuits, correct?
It can be a pretty big part of the job. And when it comes to lawsuit litigation aspect, we were involved with the Talon settlement agreement with the power plant and concerns over pollution from a coal ash basin at the Montour facility near Washingtonville. And it was a long process, and it was one I've kind of learned on the fly. We brought in partners, people involved with litigation, such as the Environmental Integrity Project and some other groups, to ultimately help us navigate those waters. And dealing with the legal aspects, obviously, 9 times out of 10, whenever we can, we want to work with whoever the potential polluter are or whatever the situation may be and figure out a common ground. But that's not always the case. And sometimes we need to take things to the next level and to work through things and to figure things out and to ultimately protect the waterways. And in regards to the lawsuit more recently involving the hellbender, the Eastern Hellbender is a very unique creature. It's the largest amphibian in the country. And obviously in our state, it's our state amphibian, but the numbers have drastically dropped off. And it has so in other parts of the country. A number of years ago, back in 2019, the last time the Fish and Wildlife Service ultimately decided whether or not the hellbender was in a position to need an endangered or threatened status, they kind of went against a lot of the experts who were suggesting that they should be threatened or endangered. And so we're re-looking at that and encouraging them through this lawsuit to reconsider their status with that. And we're working with a number of hellbender experts, including a Dr. Peter Patokas out of Williamsport that has studied these creatures and done amazing things with them. And he was one of the ones on the panel that advised the Fish and Wildlife Service originally to consider some kind of a designation. And we're hoping to kind of change the flow of things and working with other partners nationwide and kind of pushing this forward.
Obviously, you haven't been on board long enough to see some of the changes in Harrisburg that could lead to policy changes, but give me some idea of how much politics can play a part in what you do here.
Politics can be so black and white or so divisive on either side, and 99% of us, well, maybe not that high, but a number of us, most of us live in the middle ground, and finding a way to work through some of that. Obviously, policies come and go, and there's certain policies that come up that are detrimental to some of the things we're trying to fight for, and there's some that are beneficial. And navigating that can be difficult. We continue to try to educate all people, not just families and individuals and young people, but lawmakers and other people from a level of authority as well, and to ultimately work together. And I think that's almost becoming an alien concept anymore. People working together, different backgrounds doesn't mean you necessarily need to follow it, fall into a certain side of a discussion. Sometimes we fall right in the middle, and that's okay too.
I guess most people would say, yes, I want to protect the river, but it's how you get there is the biggest issue.
Well, definitely. And there's so many ways to do so. I mean, it may not necessarily come through a lawsuit or come through a change in law or a regulation. It can start in your own homes with doing the simple things to make changes and to, turn the water off when you're not brushing your teeth. And between that can make a huge difference over the course of time. And then even beyond that, there's a lot of good groups of people who are working hard in our communities, watershed groups that are struggling to make it because the people who are doing it are getting older and they need younger people to get involved. And there's lots of ways to get involved and to make a difference and to do it kind of in our own homes and our own communities.
Okay. You mentioned education. Education of younger people is one of the things you're involved with. There was a program over the summer. Can you talk about that a bit? And was that a first, or is that something that's done annually or elsewhere?
That was a first. It's called HERON. It stands for Helping Engage Our Rivers Youth with Nature. And it was we kind of partnered with the Fish and Boat Commission, got a grant through them to start this program from scratch. And we had kids come in and do 12 kids a day over the course of 6 days. So we had 73 kids total that took the course. And each day We had a different group of kids go through kayaking and fishing instruction, hands-on experience, starting in kayaks in the swimming pool. So when they flipped, it wasn't as intimidating as being in a river or in a lake, and getting their sea legs, so to speak, learning how to adjust to that, how to handle that, and what the limits were, learning how to basically do everything from a fishing standpoint, from tying your lures on to taking the fish off the hook. We wanted these kids to be able to go home and to be able to teach and engage and empower their parents to do the same. And we've gotten so many good responses since then, of families saying, hey, yeah, we started kayaking together, or we started fishing together, and who are looking for resources to continue that. And it's been a really huge blessing for us to see. You know, I grew up with a family where we were hunting and fishing all the time. And I would not be here today if it wasn't for those early experiences of being out with my family, doing those experiences. And unfortunately, a lot of kids nowadays don't have that opportunity for various reasons. And it's not always a bad thing. It's not because parents are neglectful or anything like that. It's just part of the times. And we want to help reverse that by giving opportunities and resources to parents to get kids outdoors and give them those early experiences so that down the road they're doing the kind of things we're doing now.
I guess your upbringing plus your time in newspapers kind of made you a great fit for this.
It's interesting because the person before me in this role handled things a lot differently, and I was really anxious about doing the job well in regards to that. But I also learned that I brought different skills, and there's some things that we do that are based off of what I've learned over the years of being a journalist, and it's gone well. You know, a lot of storytelling, a lot of podcast information and stuff like that, and educating that way. And it suited the time as well. When we're in the middle of a pandemic, we can't always get together and have educational programming, but we can, you know, offer stuff online that people can check out and read at home and engage them through newspaper articles and different things like that. And it's been a maneuvering process, a learning process, but it's been really interesting to see.
You know, that website's fantastic. Like you said, you have your podcasting on there, and it's just such a wide variety of topics. You want to tell people how to find that?
Sure. We're at middlesusquehannariverkeeper.org. It's kind of an informational hub, and there's numerous links across the top that can take you to our blog posts. We have close to 200 blog posts now on a whole variety of topics, and we have a song project that we're doing. You can find information on there as well, engaging local musicians who are doing original songs to try to educate people. There's a podcast listing on another link. There's just a whole slew of things. There's even cool things for the kids to do. There's videos on things that you can do at home to help teach kids about watersheds and water pollution and stuff like that.
And if me, the guy who grew up in the house and wasn't really into the outdoor stuff, can read that and find it interesting, I think anybody can, because I've gone back there numerous times to kind of, you know, get a feel for what's going on. So I would recommend that. The Songs of the Susquehanna Project, is that ongoing or is that completed? I know I've heard some of them. So where does that stand?
Sure. Now, I had lots of connections with local musicians thanks to my previous line of work, and so we offered a program heading into last winter. Again, wintertime during a pandemic, everyone was really isolated at home, and to engage and encourage people to write up their own original songs inspired by the river. We got 46 songs from a whole bunch of musicians, and it went really well. We were able to do a CD of 20 songs that we chose based off of feedback we got online and from our board of directors, and we definitely have so much response that we're going to continue doing it as an annual thing. So starting in November through January 31st of 2022, we're accepting new songs for a new batch of Volume 2 of the Songs of the Susquehanna Project. And you know, in February 2022, on our website, we'll have all the songs for people to listen to, provide feedback to, and help us narrow it down to a compilation, Volume 2 CD, and online downloads and stuff like that that people can enjoy. And it's a cool way to engage people in a new way. But musicians have been through a really tough time with the pandemic as well, and we wanted to give them an opportunity to show off their skill sets while helping us educate and engage people about the river, and it's been a really great partnership.
And hearing local musicians, you're getting that talent out there in the open, but talking about your own area, I think that's the coolest part, is that it's your own backyard, it's where you live.
Well, yeah. And obviously, you know, musicians and songs are best when people talk about their own personal experiences. And the songs really connect with people in a way. We had a song of one of our musicians lost a father during the COVID pandemic and turned to local waterways to kind of grieve that process. And her song is all about that. And it's really resonated well. We've gotten great response from people across the board because people are living that type of life themselves. They can relate with that.
On that day in May, when my father passed away, I heard the undertaker say, there was an eagle who led the way. Well, he soared along the Penn's Creek, up through the clouds so high. He led his soul by the water and straight up to the sky. Leads to the river where I found myself afloat, staring down through the water at the black rocks while my sister rode. There he is, said Susanna. I looked up to meet that eagle's eye. I knew full well on the Susquehanna that our father was by our side. Still I'm holding out for the water to tell me how it'll all be alright. My heart will be whole again somehow.
And anything else coming up? I mean, maybe the Heron Project again next year, but anything else that is in the works as we hopefully start to see lower COVID numbers?
Sure. Yeah, and we continue to put out programs. We want to engage younger children with other educational programming as well, getting them outdoors in the creeks, looking for critters and stuff like that. Our Heron Project, our program is going to continue and expand. We're going to look to do it new places throughout the watershed. And people want to get involved with that, not just get their kids involved, but to help us as we expand and get new volunteers. That would be great. We're going to continue to do our blog posts and our podcasts and stuff like that. And there's a lot of opportunities as well with, we have a concert cruise coming up on the Hiawatha, showing off some of our songs of the Susquehanna as a benefit for us. And that's coming up on the 25th. And there's just a whole bunch of different things. We're going to continue to try to engage people throughout the coming months and years to come.
And people might not know where you are, but it's kind of subtle. It's right, but yet it's on a well-traveled street.
Well, yeah, we're right on Market Street, right at the corner of Market and Front Street, and it's interesting because I work at the Daily Item a block up the road, and I worked there for 14 years. Drove past this office, numerous times over the past several years. Never knew it was here until I came in for the interview, and I'm like, "Whoa, it's right there!" And it's been great. It's a really cool, a neat little place to be, right along the river. We have pictures and things up in the windows. We have even posters that kids did of Hellbenders and stuff like that. Just coming past and even looking at the windows, you can learn some stuff about our waterways. So and
exceptionally close to the river, so it all works out good.
yeah. No, it's really neat being close by.
And again, we want to offer our thanks to John Zaktansky, the Middle Susquehanna River Keeper, for joining us on today's WPGM Community Forum. And we want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.